If you were greedy.
If I was MacReady.
If you were greedy.
If I had a big hat.
Hello. Is there anybody out there? If you are hearing this transmission, you are listening to me, Jayshia Drake, and my brother.
This transmission isn't ending. I'm waiting for a response. Who's his brother?
No, we're calling out. It's me and you.
Oh, yes. Sorry. This is a SOS transmission.
Yes.
It's me, Micah Drake.
Yes. It's me, Jayshia Drake, my brother, Micah Drake. And we are calling out the SOS to anyone who can hear us. G-Force, the government organization that tries to keep monsters hidden from the general populace. Yeah, that's great. Keep that up. G-Force has trapped us in one of their space stations. We are out of milk biscuits. The oxygen supply is dwindling. There is literally, no joke, a leak right now. And I don't know how long we're going to be able to survive for. It's been four weeks. I don't know if we'll make it to a fifth.
It's like Community season 4. It's the gas leak season.
Yeah, this could be the final transmission of Podzilla, depending on if we find and back up oxygen supply. But anyway, if you are listening to this SOS transmission, this is Podzilla, the podcast where we watch through a whole range of different giant monster and kaiju movies. We've done Godzilla. We're doing Gamera right now.
It's time for Gamera now. If we can hold on to our oxygen supply for long enough to finish this episode, it's going to be a good day.
It is going to be a good day. It's going to be a good episode, this one. Gamera versus Barugon from 1966.
Not Godzilla versus Barugon.
I see the name Barugon, and I'm just thinking about Godzilla and Barugon and Frankenstein Conquers the World. But this is a whole new monster we'll be talking about shortly. Micah, before we get into the episode proper,
hey,
you ever heard of Pokemon?
Jayshia, you're talking to the Pokemon man. You know which Pokemon games I've played?
Tell me right now.
I've played Pokemon Picross for the 3DS.
Just stupid Picross games.
I've played a little bit of Pokemon Rumble for the 3DS.
Barely count as video games.
Get out of here.
You were literally just doing a coloring book.
What?
Is that what a Picross?
It's not what a Picross is, not a coloring
you
book.
You got little squares.
It's a puzzle game that you have to use your full brain power, math and ingenuity.
Yeah, only for the top IQs can sit down and play coloring at their computer.
I doubt you could color at your computer.
Okay, so you've played Pokemon Picross.
Yeah.
Pokemon Rumble.
Yep.
What, have you played a real Pokemon game in finality yet? Like, have you finished one?
Yes, Pokemon Cafe.
What the heck is Pokemon Cafe?
I played a little bit of Detective Pikachu. I played the demo for the 3DS.
What the heck? Here am I thinking that you're the big Pokemon guy.
I am. I'm the big Pokemon guy.
Micah, I am.
Jason, we've established that you could name two Pokemon.
I can name more than that now because thanks to fellow P fans in the Discord, I am obsessed with Poke MMO, a fan-made Pokemon game that's essentially an emulator. It takes all the classic Pokemon games, turns them into an MMO quest line as you play story by story through all the Pokemon games.
It takes all the Pokemon games. Jayshia, can you name three Pokemon games?
Micah, Platinum, Ruby, Gold, Black.
Oh, four even.
Any color.
What's the first two games?
I don't know. Is it Black and White?
No.
Is it Red and Ruby?
No, you're so close.
Red and Blue.
Yeah.
Hey. So I'm playing through the first Pokemon game in MMO format right now. I've got it on my phone. I've been doing a few gym battles every night. I'm obsessed.
Yeah. Who's on your lineup right now?
Okay. I got Godzuki, my Charmeleon.
Nice.
I have Caesar, my Pikachu. I've got Yami, my... turnip. What's his name? He's a turnip.
Oddish. Yeah.
Here's my problem is I don't know if I'm going to ever learn the names because as soon as I'm getting the Pokemon, I'm renaming them.
You are like one of the only people who I won't say that. Everybody renames them, but everybody at least knows what their Pokemon are.
I'd
love
to
see you as a Pokemon trainer in real life. It's like, yeah, here's Yammy. He's my...
he's a yam?
I mean, he is a turnip, I guess.
Yeah. But if we survive this recording of Podzilla, if the oxygen keeps up, I'm going to be a full-blown Pokehead.
You're going to be a P-fan officially, a Pokemon fan.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So stay tuned.
The sun is going to shine bright on our spaceship.
Add me on Pokey MMO listeners. My name's Kyle Chandler. I'm proud that I got that name.
Nice.
I'm proud I got it.
Speaking of, I found out the name of our ship that we're stranded on the other day.
Right here, right now.
It's the Chandler Maru.
The Chandler Maru is the space station that G-Force put us in.
Funnily enough, a Friends reference, not a Kong reference.
Someone at G-Force was just super into Friends.
Yeah.
Not into the work of Kyle Chandler.
No.
Micah, take us into some Godzilla news.
Jasha, fantastic week for Godzilla. There wasn't much that happened.
No, there's heaps,
man. The big Godzilla fest happened.
Yeah, but like, Godzilla Minus One is officially out.
Yes, it's officially out.
In Japan. And on the high seas.
Social media's been going wild. People have been furious that they haven't been able to... You know, wink, wink, haven't been able to watch this movie.
Mm.
I don't know. I'm happy to wait.
I'm happy to wait too. However, it is a shame. I just hate the current state of the world that movies just don't get released everywhere at once. Why do we not have a release date for Godzilla Minus One outside of Japan right now? Why isn't Amazon just releasing it on Amazon Prime everywhere? It's just a shame. I just wish every movie was available every time. Why can't they give us that?
It's like that meme. It's the futuristic city. The world, if movies had worldwide release dates.
Yeah, if every movie was available to watch.
What a dream.
Every single Godzilla movie is like on Prime Video now in Japan, right?
Yeah, that was the other thing. You said Prime Video Japan.
Yeah.
I noticed you brought it up on your phone a little bit earlier.
Dude. VPNs.
VPNs?
The stuff of the future.
If any of you have VPNs, you can officially watch all of the Godzilla live action movies.
Yeah.
Toho made.
I don't think they've got English subtitles, but you can watch them.
You can watch them, and hey, that's the best part. Nobody watches these movies to understand what Godzilla's saying. Technically, it makes it more realistic not understanding the language.
True. You're right.
It's like you're just right there yourself.
Yeah, you were the Steve Martin in Japan, just observing.
Jason, we also had the special short film drop the other day. Now, I haven't seen this. This is the one we talked about that was portrayed on the side
of the Tokyo Metropolitan Building.
That's the one.
Mm.
That's the one. All I know is it was projected and it had the X2.
Yeah.
Can you tell me a little more about it?
Short film is a stretch. I watched someone's recording of this on YouTube and I think it's a like permanent addition to the Tokyo Metropolitan Building. Every day at a certain time, the Godzilla short film plays on the side of the building. And I think it's going to be playing there for the foreseeable future. But it's projected onto the building. It makes it look like the building's destroyed. Makes it look like Godzilla is breaking through the building. He goes up against a Super X2. Both of them are just shooting beams at each other for a while. And then Godzilla walks off. The building gets rebuilt. But we quickly see a glimpse of Mechagodzilla getting built within it as well. And these are the Heisei. Heisei Godzilla, Heisei Mechagodzilla. So it's really short. It's kind of pointless.
Oh, I've got the scene of Mechagodzilla up right now.
It's pretty pointless, but it's kind of cool. It'll be cool to see that in real life, like just seeing the scale of Godzilla actually breaking through a building, supposedly.
Now, apparently there are I'm seeing on Twitter someone saying there's a few parts to it. But it seems like the whole thing all up is like...
It's like 7 minutes.
7 minutes, if that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Probably closer to five.
It's nothing special, but it would be a cool tourist feature. Like, I'd love to see that if I went to Japan one day.
A lot of us had almost hyped this up in our minds to be like another short film.
No.
But it's almost like an interactive... You know that's like interactive screens you see at like museums with a video playing on them?
Totally.
It's a little bit like that.
It's like that. It is cool. I think they got the suit actor for it. The same suit actor that's doing a lot of the Godzilla short films for G-Fest, like, you know, those practical short films they're doing, live action short films. So it is pretty cool. It's just, yeah, wouldn't go out of my way to see it.
Mm. Not much more in light of Godzilla news, Mega Newslon, except for the fact that Chibi Godzilla is still going strong.
Mm.
Chibi Godzilla season 2. In the most recent episode, we had our second Godzilla in-world reference to the Godzilla baseball player.
Whoa.
Which is wild. If I had a nickel for every time the baseball player Godzilla was mentioned in a Godzilla piece of media, I'd have two nickels.
Two nickels. What's a nickel?
Is it like 15 cents?
No clue.
Let me look this up. I'm curious now.
No clue. People still use nickels?
I want to say. It's worth 5 cents, even less.
Dude, you'd have 10 cents.
I have 10 cents.
Congratulations.
Which isn't a lot, but it's weird that it happened twice.
Quick new segment, Micah. Podcast segment of the Planet of the Apes.
You're still going with this.
Dude, just because we are just buying time. We don't have any time for Gamera versus Baragon in this episode. Let's just talk about Pokemon and Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Dude, I rewatched the Tim Burton Planet of the Apes movie.
2001. I've seen this with you.
Famously despised.
I liked it.
I thought it was pretty good.
It was pretty good.
Revisited it.
Slept on.
The makeup. Whoa. These monkeys looked real.
I remember the leading lady's makeup. Oh, she just has this like
Micah.
Snout.
Dude. Helena Bonham Carter in Planet of the Apes.
Wait, not lovely ladies.
Yeah.
Is this Master of the House's wife?
Yeah, both. Yeah.
Whoa.
Let me tell you, Helena Bonham Carter in ape makeup. That's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say. Not saying anything else, but yeah, Tim Burton's Planet of the Apes slept on.
If we're going on new segments.
Oh.
This is our new Giga Guess.
What?
What's the word for guess?
Giga Guess?
I had a beautiful word in my mind and I'm forgetting
Dude,
it.
Dude, what's Giga Guess?
Jason, Giga Guess. We just had news that the Godzilla Nemesis DLC for Giga Bash only has two characters now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we kind of know it's going to be King Ghidorah.
It's King Ghidorah and Space Godzilla. I'm locked in on those two.
I think that Kong's going to be in it.
No, 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 no.
I think that Kong will be in the game.
They'll be hyping it up more. They'll be hyping it up more. They'll be making it like a Monsterverse thing.
Yeah, I suppose you're right.
Yeah.
I'm still holding out hope, though.
Do we have anything else we could talk about?
Any other segments? I think we've run out.
The oxygen's running out.
The oxygen's running out.
This episode time is running out. Bro,
do you want to just get on with it?
Bring us straight in to Gamera versus Barugon, directed by Shigeo Tanaka, his only Gamera film that he directed.
His only Gamera film?
Yep. Go for it.
After his interstellar journey is interrupted by a meteor, Earth is once again visited by the giant space turtle, Gamera. Though when a ragtag group of thieves pillages a holy cave that is located in New Guinea, they unleash a threat that pits Gamera against his hardest foe yet. With Barugon, a deific lizard grown from a New Guinea opal, harnessing the energy of infrared light to power his extendable tongue, his cooling liquid, and his rainbow death ray, does Gamera stand a chance? Or will the Earth suffer a chilly fate brought on by the Blizzard Lizard?
That would totally be Barugon's name if this movie came out today.
The Blizzard.
The Blizzard Lizard. Amazing.
In my heart.
Yeah. Barugon, Micah.
Why did I say in my heart? In my heart.
You've got two hearts. You're not
I'm a Gallifreyan.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Man, space does weird things to you, dude. Let me tell you.
It's the oxygen. It's the oxygen.
Barugon. This is an interesting movie. I mean, it's the first time Gamera's actually gone head-to-head with another kaiju.
It's so fun, the movie starting off. It's like, here's Gamera in his spaceship. Whoop. Nope. Back on Earth again.
Yeah, instantly they just undo the finale of the last movie.
I feel for Toshio, dude.
Toshio.
He had dreams to become a scientist and go to Mars.
Yeah, imagine Toshio's locked himself away. He's just studying. He's locked himself away from the outside world. He doesn't know Gamera's returned.
He's getting good grades at school, A pluses, because he finally has...
Yeah. Something to
live for.
Yeah, to live up to go to Mars one day. When he goes there, Gamera's not even going to be there.
Mm.
Yeah, it's funny how they redo that, and then Gamera gets straight back to Japan to destroy a dam.
Man. I love how they're like, he's going to the greatest energy source on Earth.
A dam. Yeah, he can just sense it.
All that pinned up energy. It does nothing.
Yeah.
What's it doing to him?
And I love, he just goes on a rampage. Actually, a really cool miniature scene again when he just crashes through the dam and the water just rushes through, destroys everything. I loved all the people who work at the dam. And they were like, we've done everything we can. Gamera is destroying us, but we've done everything we can do. They don't do a single thing. They just run around yelling into telephones.
That's everything they can do.
I guess you're right.
What do you expect a dam worker to do in this situation? Genuinely, what are you expecting them to do?
I don't know. Something.
Open the dam gates?
Yeah, I guess they can't. It's a stone dam.
They literally can't do a thing.
Yeah, well, please don't talk yourselves up then. Be like, we can't do anything. Not like, we've done everything we could do.
No, it's more so like, we've done everything we can do. We've called the authorities.
I guess.
What are they going to do? Build a second dam?
Yeah.
You're not giving these guys enough credit.
Yeah, okay. I'm sorry, dam workers.
Real quick question. What did dam workers actually do? They had like 20 plus people at that facility.
Well, as Gamera would know, Micah, dams produce energy.
Wow. You had so much potential in that sentence to make the funniest joke.
By keeping the water at bay, they produce energy. And they're just like producing energy there, the dam workers.
This turned from a funny quip into like my year 3 science class.
Wait.
Man, dams produce so much energy by producing so much energy. If you've seen them, they produce so much energy.
This lack of oxygen's getting to me. The real plot of this movie.
It is funny how we quickly go away from Gamera.
Yeah,
we
Gamera.
Leave him in the dust.
He takes a big backseat in this movie. We don't even have a child protagonist in this one. I think this might be the only Gamera movie where there isn't one.
Hmm.
And we focus on 3 thieves. Well, I don't know if you'd call them thieves. There is Kisuke Hirata. And he's this pilot who's quitting his piloting job to go hunting for a New Guinea opal that his brother hid away there.
Mm.
And he recruits kind of a team of crack thieves to go to New Guinea and track down this opal with him.
Yeah, and they bring Kawajiri.
Yep.
He's along for the ride.
And Onodera.
Onodera.
That's the 3 of them. And I just love, I found it so funny, the scenes when the 3 of them rock up to this tribe in New Guinea and they're just standing there so out of place with like leather gloves, duffel bags, matching like khakis.
Cargo shorts.
And they're just like
high rolled up socks.
Oh, we're just going to go check out your sacred cave, get some treasure. Don't mind us. They're just so out of place. the tribe's doing this dance saying, don't go there. It's holy. What are they doing?
While the tribe's dancing, they lower their helicopter in the midst of them. You think if this group of people is going to like be real undercover, real stealthy, like,
yeah,
steal this opal, you wouldn't want to go touch down when a tribe, the entire tribe,
stay
is
away
right
from
there.
Tribes in general. Stay away from anyone. Just sneak around in the jungle. Why do I even have a duffel bag for an opal that's the size of a fist?
It's for the clothes.
It's for the grenades. All the grenades they need to kill scorpions.
With
the
meter-long wicks.
But yeah, it's funny. Another kaiju protagonist that's a pilot. Our main guy, Kisuke.
Now, if I had a dime for every sequel to a famous monster movie that involved a pilot.
Yeah. You'd have Godzilla Rides Again.
Yeah.
Godzilla Minus One.
That's not a sequel.
It's in the franchise.
We're talking about sequels here, Jason.
You have the Millennium series. I'm pretty sure everyone's a pilot there.
Yeah, that counts.
I just want a Godzilla story about a baker. I want a Godzilla story about a, you know, just a marketing assistant.
I want a movie about a cobbler.
A cobbler.
We need to bring Godzilla to the modern generation.
Yeah.
Have him be an everyman.
Make
we need
a
protag who's a gamer, an IT person.
Yeah.
I want a I want a nurse protagonist.
Get these pilots out of here.
Man.
Get them far away.
Who's a pilot nowadays?
But yeah, I really loved the human plotline in this. I thought it was quite a different take, even though he was a pilot. We don't get many stories when it's people going looking for like a lost treasure, going into like a sacred cave, the Valley of the Rainbows.
Yeah, it's a little bit like Indiana Jones, albeit without a very charming protagonist.
Yeah.
But it still has that feel to it, right?
Yeah, especially
like
when
high jungle adventure.
And Onodera betrays them, just kind of like, is it Satipo in the first Indiana Jones movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very much like that, the start of Raiders.
And I will say that betrayal scene is quite good. You have Kawajiri, you know, reveling in the glory that he's found this opal. Mm-hmm. And you see Onodera have a look at his knee and see this deadly scorpion, which poison kills people in 5 minutes. And he's just staring there, blank look on his face, saying nothing.
Yeah.
Menacing stuff.
Lets him die. And then while Kesuke is just being nice, just like trying to tend to his dead friend, Onodera just chucks a couple of those scorpion grenades in and tries to kill him too. Why do they bring grenades to kill scorpions? I feel like you bring anything else.
That's why they brought the guns.
Why do they have guns and grenades to kill scorpions?
You got to bring the big bangs.
When you go into a cave, yeah. Why would you bring an explosive device?
Yeah, to kill the scorpions.
That's not going to kill scorpions.
It's not going to kill scorpions.
It's going to kill you too. It's going to collapse the whole cave. It's going to stop anyone from entering the cave ever again.
Yeah.
The sacred Valley of the Rainbows. You're just going to blow it up.
Well, to each their own. He had his reasons. Yeah.
This dude, Onodera, what a villain.
He didn't want to leave a trace.
He is overcome with greed.
He actually is.
He's obsessed.
He's a menace.
Anything he can do to get his hands on this opal, and then later on the diamond.
Yeah, JJ would have a field day with this dude.
JJ?
Jonah.
J. Jonah James.
Jameson.
Onodera is a menace.
He's a public menace.
The other character that we have is Karen, the New Guinea vampire.
First off, they introduce her as part of this Japanese tribe as like, am I right in saying
New
like,
Guinea
like,
tribe?
As a New Guinea tribe, as like the one person who knows how to speak fluent English.
Fluent in Japanese.
Sorry, fluent Japanese.
Yeah.
And her name's Karen.
Yeah. Very uncommon name in the 60s.
I have a feeling that the writers in the room just ask one of their friends, hey, do you have any New Guinea friends? Yeah, what's their name? Karen? Sweet. Karen. Pop that in the script.
Karen, for some reason, when Kesuke is bleeding, she just puts her mouth straight on that wound, starts suckling up the blood. Then she like smiles at him afterwards, wipes the blood from her lips.
And he like very tenderly like wiped the remnants off.
What's going
on
there?
I'm uncomfortable.
What is actually going on? Like, no, joking aside, what is going on? Is she trying to just like, you know, everyone does it. If you've got a little cut on your hand.
If you've got your own little injury.
You suck the blood up,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You clean the wound with your mouth. But I don't feel like you'd clean someone else's bad knife wound after you've just met them.
Yeah, they didn't have a pre-existing relationship. In fact, if I had a penny for every time a New Guinea woman named Karen.
You don't even know how much a penny's worth.
A penny is 1 cent.
Is it?
Yes.
Is she a vampire? Is there a secret hidden subplot in this movie that she's a vampire?
I had a look online and everyone on like Reddit, Twitter is so confused at this lady and why this happened. And she says a line later in the movie that's like, Barugon only comes once in 1,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the only person to have seen him. And I know that she just before saw him, but like, it makes me think that yes, there is a hidden subplot to this movie.
Oh, she rises every 1,000 years with Barugon from her tomb.
Yeah, she's like the peanuts out of Mothra.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
A Shobijin.
She's a Shobijin, but like, a vampire for
Barugon. She is a herald of the coming.
Mm. The herald of the coming.
Of Barugon. I'm genuinely with you here. Like, imagine you had a movie and it had this real hidden subplot no one knew of this side character who's actually a vampire, and it wasn't blatant at all. And this movie is holding its cards close to itself. It's not showing anything. I think you could have a real crazy time.
Whoa, the director just wanted to hide a little vampire in the movie.
More movies need to have hidden subplots that aren't shown very readily.
Yeah. I mean, that was a kind of human cast. I love Onodera, the greedy thief again, when he gets his hands on the opal. He takes it out every 5 seconds to look at it. Like, the man doesn't just hide it away.
He turns into Gollum. He's like Gollum. Caressing it.
Every 5 seconds, he opens up his little bag, caresses the opal, then moves it to the front pocket of his jacket.
Yeah, to get it out of the way.
Right where
while the infrared
ray. He's not even going to turn the infrared. What was that even doing? Curing his malaria?
I don't know. I want to say, I'm a pediatric nurse. We have children who, if they have like severe jaundice just after birth, if they're very yellow, you do use ultraviolet light to help bring that little bilirubin out of their system.
Bilirubin.
That's what causes the jaundice. I don't know if there's any like substitute for doing the same thing with infrared.
Mm.
Did he get a leg wound?
He got malaria.
Malaria.
I don't know how.
I don't know. I'll do some research after this.
Yeah. Interesting.
I always thought malaria was like this thing that brought you so close to death.
Is malaria what people say you get from like mosquito bites? Like there's risk
of
malaria?
Yeah. But the doctor comes in the movie and he's like, hey, oh, you're having rigors and shakes from malaria?
Ho, ho, ho.
Don't worry about it. It's the norm.
It
happens.
Okay. Just settle down. Put your foot under a light for a few hours. You'll be fine. And yeah, he puts infrared on the opal. Turns out it was an egg for a lizard monster from the Valley of Rainbows. And
am I right in saying that it wasn't going to be kaiju-sized normally?
No, it's just a normal little lizard monster, but because the infrared got to it, he grew into a kaiju.
Man, I needed to have some infrared light on me when I was a baby.
To grow you into a kaiju?
Yeah.
How about that little like puppet Baragon?
I like this little baby Baragon
coming out of the opal for the first time. He looks literally like those.
It's on par with like alien face hugger.
It's not on par.
Yeah,
does not look as good.
Chestburster.
But he looks like, you know, as little when you're a kid, you put have the little eggs that you put in water and then slowly they dissolve grow into like a little dinosaur toy. Yeah. It's exactly what he was like.
Yeah.
And I guess he grew into a kaiju.
Yeah. He chucked him in the water. He sunk the ship. I love how he sinks in the ship. Immediately, this creature is thrown into the bottom of this huge ocean.
First thing he's introduced to when he's born is water.
Yep. And later on, we find out that water is his weakness.
Yeah, man.
How did this kid survive?
I don't know. He's all the stronger for it, though. He's growing fast. He looks cool. I really love the way Baragon looks.
He looks, I don't know, when you had Anguirus in the sequel to Godzilla, it's like this classic spiky dinosaur design. I thought that's what Baragon was, but then you see the movie, he's more of like a lizard.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you don't see too many lizard kaiju nowadays.
Yeah, which is interesting because you see a lot of dinosaurs, but not so much lizards on four legs.
Lizards.
But he's got a whole lot going for him. He's got his huge, I love the way his mouth looks. It's like hollow and red. He's constantly opening it up. He's got his tongue that just stiffens.
It's like a Yoshi tongue.
But it's not boingy like Yoshi's tongue. It's just stiff.
It's not a boingy tongue. It's like a stay tongue. This is where he uses crazy cooling liquid from his stay tongue.
Yeah, he's got a little... Yeah, his tongue stiffens.
What are you laughing about?
Yeah, that's Baragon. He's got his rainbow death ray.
Yeah, same.
You got a rainbow death ray?
I have a rainbow death ray.
And he also seems to have like precognitive abilities because he can sense if there's a weapon miles and miles away and sends his rainbow death ray straight to it. He's sleeping. He opens his eyelids from the... from the size like lizards do, his nictitating membranes.
There you go. Wow.
And he just sends that rainbow death ray.
He's a crack shot with this weapon.
It's crazy. He's a lizard.
It's wild.
Got, Big Tongue, Freezing Rays, Precog, Rainbows. He's got a lot going for him.
He has a bunch of other stuff as well, but it's wild. It's wild just how stacked this kaiju is with abilities.
Yeah. And you got Gamera, who's just got fire breath.
Yeah. Compared to someone like, again, to Anguirus, who's just a dinosaur.
Yeah.
You've got this. Yeah, he's a lizard. But he's also got rainbow powers.
He can fly, too. You see, Baragon's like sending himself.
He's got a horn.
Yeah.
He's jumping everywhere.
It's crazy. What a guy.
And I'm surprised at how quickly he defeats Gamera, first off.
Yeah, they meet, and Gamera's setting everything on fire, and fire goes up against ice as Baragon extends his tongue. And
in what world does ice beat fire?
I feel like enough frost would put out a fire.
No.
Acts like a fire extinguisher?
If Pokemon has taught me anything, it's that water beats fire, fire beats ice.
But enough of one thing will always do a little bit of the other, you know? Like, Gamera had just one straight breath of fire, like a straight ray into the ground. I don't even know what you call that. A straight plume?
A plume.
He had a single plume of fire. And Baragon was just setting everything.
Relentless charge.
Relentless frost. He was like freezing all the buildings around Gamera before he got to him.
Relentless frost.
Yeah.
Versus
plume of fire.
Plume of fire.
Fiery plume. The relentless frost every day would be it.
To each their own.
But yeah, the battle is overdone with real quick. I love from the outset that this film is quite bloody, which is something I always loved about the Showa era Godzilla films, when they just for some reason would chuck in a bit of gore. And I loved it whenever one of them would bite into the other in this, and there'd just be liters of purple liquid that's just endlessly flowing out of their necks.
I think it's a real showstopper after they do Project Rearview Mirror.
Yeah.
Where they create this mercury-based mirror onto a satellite, reflect his rainbow ray back at Baragon, and he just comes up with this like full body spore-like bulbous rash.
Yeah, his back starts bubbling as things are bursting on him and the purple liquid's just seeping out from him, and it's just constant.
And he dives into the water and you could just see all the purple paint just floating everywhere.
It was cool. It was really cool visually. It looked real graphic, which I liked, even though it wasn't really. It just made it look.
Yeah, but even when like Gamera was biting into him, it's like, oh, it feels violent.
Those teeth are actually sinking in and doing some damage.
Yeah. Also, real quick shout out, Gamera's spinny, fiery shell UFO.
He does it a lot.
Looking great as ever. Half the time it feels like the shell's on fire.
Yeah.
Not just producing fire, but on fire itself. It's great.
Whenever plumes of fire are coming out of his throat, there's always another part of him that's on fire as well. but yeah, that final fight between Baragon and Gamera was awesome. Gamera's like holding Baragon by the tail while he's just burning him. There's a lot of tongue action.
Whoa.
Baragon's.
Who would have thought?
Baragon's moving that tongue around. Baragon picks up.
Gamera versus Baragon?
Yeah.
Like Gamera X Baragon.
Baragon picks up Onodera.
He picks him up
with the tongue.
Wait, Baragon's picking up Gamera?
Onodera. Just before this fight, Onodera is trying to steal his diamond.
Like a diamond ring?
What are you talking about?
Dude, this is like a Jaisha fanfic.
It's
right here.
Odd. It's the oxygen. It's the lack
He's
of oxygen.
Stealing the diamond, picking up this tongue action.
There's a lot of tongue action, and I liked it. That's all I'm saying. Baragon doesn't make an appearance in any other Gamera movies.
Yeah, it's crazy to me. The Gamera Rebirth came out last year?
Yeah, yeah.
And it had like a lot of its famous villains. And already to me, Baragon feels like such an iconic Gamera character.
Mm.
So it's funny to me that it feels like all the rest of the monsters to come are going to be even more iconic, which is great.
Yeah. I think he appears in stock footage in a lot of the other Gamera movies.
Classic. And to be expected.
Yeah, to be expected. And he's in a lot of comics and video games. But yeah, his only like film TV appearance in this one. I really liked him. Something happened to me halfway through this movie, and whenever I'd see the two kaiju on screen, I stopped thinking of them as guys in suits, and I was actually buying that we're actually watching giant monsters. Like, I don't know, the way that this movie in particular was shot or the way that the monsters were moving, I actually really bought it. I think it looked pretty cool for something in the 60s.
It's always real cool when it gets to that point with suitmation where you kind of just forget that it's actually suit actors on a screen and you get so immersed in the story.
Yeah.
I feel like it was aided by the fact that compared to Gamera, the unbelievable.
The giant monster?
What's the other one?
The Invincible.
The Invincible. It's like three movie names in one. Gamera the giant monster, which was black and white. It had all of like the camera and recording equipment from the Rat movie that they were going to make.
Yeah.
You could tell just the jump in quality from this one as well. Like, they actually added so much and changed their style to make you feel like they're much more of a giant monster than they are.
Even just adding color to it does something specifically to Gamera. Like, his orange eyes, he looks a lot more menacing, almost scary when he's getting frozen and his eyes are glowing and his arms are elongated. He looks scary, man, like an SCP monster or something.
For sure. And like when they're underwater as well, when he's drowning Baragon and you just see his eye is the only thing that's glowing down there.
Yeah.
It's creepy.
I love how the scientists just had a death ray lying around. They're like, oh yeah, we've just got this death ray we've never used. Let's swap out the diamond for, let's swap out the ruby for a diamond and use that against Gamera.
Is this confirmed that rubies are what power death rays?
Apparently.
Yeah.
A death ray. Scientists just have a, they call it a death ray themselves. What were they hoping to use this death ray against? Gamera, maybe?
I love how they had a death ray.
Yeah.
And they didn't use it against Baragon.
They,
it's like, yeah, we have this death ray, but let's disassemble it.
Yeah, to make it just infrared so we can lead him somewhere. But yeah, overall, I love the miniature stuff in this. I love the kaiju stuff. Even when some of the jets were breaking apart mid-air when they were frozen. Yeah, that was cool. Yeah, some real cool practical effects.
I loved when Baragon was using his chilling breath and you saw, like, I forget what it's called, but it's one of the like feudal Japan buildings, and then it slowly fades into a frozen version of the same building. I'm a sucker for those scenes.
Same with tanks. It would like crossfade as the frost went over them. Really cleverly done to make it look like they were being frozen. Should we get into some trivia?
Jaysha, give it to me.
Let's go. So this wasn't originally what the sequel to Gamera the Giant Monster was going to be looking like. The original sequel that was written was called Gamera versus the Space Icemen. And it was set in the middle of an invasion of on Earth conducted by ice-based aliens called the Space Icemen.
Man, these guys and their alien naming conventions.
Yeah.
The Space Beastmen.
The Space Icemen. Space Icemen. Their invasion was going to set off multiple volcanic eruptions around the world, and they were going to attempt to make a new ice age. Is that how ice ages are created? By volcanic eruptions?
Something to do with climate change.
Wow. Something to do with climate change. Humanity was going to migrate underground. The invaders were going to have complete control over the surface. And the Earth dwellers would end up getting completely enslaved by the Icemen, apparently, in this movie.
Kind of a la Mysterians almost.
Yeah, and luckily Gamera would be freed from his imprisonment in the Mars rocket, kind of like he does at the start of this movie. He would fly back to Earth just in time to battle the Icemen and their own towering beast called the Ice Giant. And the concept of this Ice Giant kaiju was adapted and changed into Baragon, who was cold-themed and had the frost abilities, and Dimogen, who was going to be this humanoid made from a non-organic element. And they decided to use the concept of Baragon, who was kind of half of this ice giant, for what became Gamera versus Baragon. And they decided to use Dimogen, who was the other half of this ice giant, and make a specific movie for Dimogen called Dimogen. So
I will say it is kind of, it throws me out a little bit whenever you're first introduced to this more animalistic kaiju, and then you face him off against a real humanoid figure. Like, the first time I saw Jet Jaguar, it was a little bit weird.
Yeah.
Like that.
Interesting, because I think he would have looked pretty similar to what Dimogen looks like. And I don't know if you've seen him, but he is just,
he's like this almost samurai
humanoid statue, yeah.
Yeah.
So it would have been that with maybe with the elongated powers? Tongue. the frost tongue.
Maybe still with all the tongue action.
Yeah, maybe. This was Teruo Aragaki's first role as the Gamera suit actor.
Ooh.
So in Gamera the Giant Monster, we had different bodybuilders wearing the suit because it was so heavy, if you'd remember. But this is the first movie where we specifically have one guy, Teruo Aragaki, playing Gamera, and he goes on to reprise the role in the following two films after this. He's the only actor to play Gamera more than twice.
Oh, that's real interesting compared to like the Godzilla suit actors who they had a lot of consistency with.
Yeah, so Gamera seems to swap out actors a lot more often.
I also find it real funny. I'm looking at the main actor for this, Kojiro Hongo. He seems to play the same character in quite a lot of... Oh, nope, that's not true.
I don't think he plays the same character, but he does show up in a lot of Gamera movies.
Yeah, I just coincidentally clicked on Gamera versus Barugon again. But he shows up in a lot of these movies as the protagonist.
Yeah, so it seems like we've got a cast and a crew that keep returning from now on. Kind of like, you know, how we got familiar with the Godzilla Showa era casting crew. Seems like the same thing's going to start happening, which is pretty cool.
Looking forward to it. It's always nice to see some familiar faces show up in a bunch of these movies.
1966, the year this movie came out, was a huge year for kaiju films. The War of the Gargantuas came out in the same year.
Oh.
Ibra Horror of the Deep came out in the same year. A movie called Magic Serpent came out in the same year.
My favorite.
The Daimajin trilogy was fully released in this year.
Cowabunga.
Ultra Q and Ultra Man both premiered this year.
Fascinating.
That's all. You don't have to think of any more reactions, but
I'd run out of them.
Do you have a favorite from that group of films from 1966? Ibra?
Ibra, Horror of the Deep.
You like
will remain fantastic.
Gamera versus Barragon. Whoa.
Yeah.
Flip, man. And then last trivia I have here. We're heading back to good old Germany for a laugh or two right now, Micah.
When do we first come back from Germany?
We are quite familiar with Germany's Frankenstein movies.
Yeah, we all remember Frankenstein versus Barragon.
Yeah, that was a Japanese movie. I'm talking about when Germany renames Godzilla movies as Frankenstein movies.
Yes, yes.
You familiar?
Don't tell me this was Frankenstein versus Barugon.
In Germany, this film was called Gamera versus Godzilla. Barugon
what?
Was changed and marketed to be Godzilla. It was then also released theatrically in different parts of Germany as Godzilla the Dragon from the Jungle.
And that's just blatant false advertising.
Yeah. And then the VHS cover art had Gamera fighting the TriStar Godzilla with photos of the Heisei-era Godzilla on the back. So this VHS release must have been way out of the 60s. It must have been early 2000s. But yeah, man, Germany's just full-on promoting this as Gamera versus Godzilla. So I guess we got it. I guess we got our Gamera versus Godzilla movie.
Gosh, don't need to worry about those dreams anymore.
Yeah, this is it. This is our link. This is what makes Gamera completely Godzilla adjacent, is this film here, Gamera versus Godzilla. Anyway, that's the trivia. That's the trivia, folks. That's all, folks.
That's all, folks.
I've got a few final thoughts. Should we just get into them?
Yeah, give me yours first.
What was happening with that banana peel scene? There's a scene halfway through this movie when Onodera has stolen the opal. He's catching passage back to Japan in the ship when he's been hiding away as a seaman.
A regular seaman.
A regular seaman. And one of the other ship crew gets him out of his bunker, eats a banana, throws a banana peel on the ground. Then both of them go walking down the passageway. You see this other ship crewmate, his foot's planted right on the banana, and then the scene cuts. What happened? Was it supposed to be a joke?
I want to believe that they filmed a scene where he stepped on the banana, he slipped, he had a real traumatic head injury. The whole scene got super bloody and someone forgot to stop recording.
It was supposed to be just a funny banana peel slip.
Yep.
This guy died on camera, so they had to cut the whole scene.
They tried to cover it all up. No one knows about it, except for the remnant of this cut scene moments before his death.
I hope that didn't actually happen. We're just laughing at it, but it is a funny idea. Micah, what would you do if you were greedy
Hold on. Imagine if your one role in the movie was to slip on a banana peel, and it was such a bad slip that they had to cut it.
Your one stunt. You're just so bad at it. Mike, I had an important question for you.
Sorry, yes.
If you were greedy.
If I had a big hat.
If you were greedy and there was a huge diamond that the government and everyone were using as the last hope of mankind to save the earth against a giant monster destroying and ravaging everything.
Yeah.
Would you let them save the world? Or would you steal that diamond?
I would steal that diamond.
You'll just take a jet ski out, rock up next to them, steal the diamond.
Pull out my gun, start shooting up. No, I think that this dude...
He's the greediest man on the planet.
I think that Onodera, I think that he had already killed, essentially murdered a couple people.
He was...
He threw those grenades in there.
People under drawers.
Yeah.
Under furniture, making them burn alive, stuck under their own cabinets and stuff.
He had... Man, that's what IKEA does to you. Watch out. He had already killed multiple people for his chance at that opal.
So he was too far gone.
He was empty-handed. He was too far gone. He's like, hey, I've done the evilest of deeds. I need to get something or else my life's just wasted. This is him psychologically trying to bargain with himself.
Hey.
Being like, hey, I need to do this or else it's all been for nothing, for naught.
Yeah.
Psychology with Podzilla.
Psychology of Podzilla. Yeah, man. Greed. Look what greed does to you.
Man.
Look what greed can do. I really enjoyed this. I thought it was a step up from Gamera the Giant Monster.
Why would you say that?
I was way more interested in the kaiju stuff, the suitmation this time around. I thought the special effects were a big step up. I enjoyed the story more. The thievery, the backstabbing, the tale of greed. You know, I enjoyed it. I thought it was pretty unique to kaiju films. I didn't like the pacing. It felt all over the place. Again, there were huge stretches where Gamera was just left alone to thaw out. Mm. There were scenes when like they'd try something up against Baragon and then Baragon would make artificial rain to put him to sleep and then they'd try something else and they'd have to artificial rain him to put him to sleep again because it didn't work. There's a lot of repetition. A lot of things that just didn't feel like they flowed naturally. But I enjoyed it overall. I don't think it was anything special, but I'd probably like, if I was playing Mahjong on the ship, if I was a seaman, a regular seaman, and I was invited to jump in for a game of Mahjong, I would play probably like 3.5 rounds of Mahjong. As a regular seaman.
So the rating system for this episode is rounds of Mahjong as a regular seaman.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I had a fun time with this. I don't know why it didn't stick out as anything special to me. I think I'm just sick of this. Oh, these scientists have a plan and they have the object ready for the plan already and they're going to try out a few plans. Mm. Give me a good plan that they need to test and fail at and then properly put into action and make it like intense if it will work or not. Don't make them just have a death ray lying around that they have a diamond lying around and they have artificial rain lying around and they're just going to chuck it all at the monster and see what sticks, you know?
Mm.
But it was good.
Now, that's your average seaman rating over there.
Okay. All right, here we go. Micah hated another movie we covered on Podzilla, guys.
Chad, irregular seaman rating over here.
You're an irregular seaman.
If I had to play some rounds of Mahjong, I'd play like 3 rounds.
Okay.
No. Definitely a step up from the first camera, even though we didn't have any children in it. I liked the feeling of being able to have a little bit of a side story with the humans that actually, I don't know, had its own little plot, had its own adventure lined up with it and characters who you could like follow along who are backstabbing each other. There's a little bit of intrigue there.
Mm. The human story was good in this.
Yeah, and you had like some like quite cool fight scenes as well. I always love it when you have...
Vampires.
I always love it when you have vampires. But like super long brawls. Those are always classic, and you get one of those in here. And Baragon, for what I thought was going to be a real mundane,
just dinosaur enemy actually turned out to be quite iconic in my eyes.
There we go.
The Gamera villains, thumbs up so far.
The one Gamera villain?
The one Gamera villain, thumbs up from me. So far. But no, I agree with you. Like, the pacing is wild at times. The fact that you see Gamera at the start, and then it's almost like you pivot to an entirely different movie that seems for a good while to have no connection with any kaiju or any monster story, whatever. It's crazy, even if it is still quite a fun and interesting story. But it's just that bit of whiplash going from what you would expect to what you get. But like, I don't know. It's great. Monster scenes are great. What do you think of Gamera's new look here?
Yeah, he had a bit more weight to him. Wasn't as skinny. Which is weird because bodybuilders were playing him and he was skinny and now he's... Anyway, I liked Gamera. I liked the kind of menacing tone they were able to give him through I don't know if it was just the color, but through the way that they shot him this time around.
Yeah, I think it did help with the addition of color for things like the blood, even though it was purple.
Yeah.
I think it still got across just how brutal he can be in this movie. I had a good time. I'm giving it 3 because I think there's still a lot of room to improve.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to the new heights that Gamera can reach.
Okay.
You got to leave some room for the Heisei trilogy, right?
All right. Okay. Yeah. All right. Let's hear what you guys thought of the movie. Our listeners, we got a message here from MCMC. They say, "Hey, Podzilla crew, this is MCMC, the sequel that was better than the first. This movie is everything you want in your standard kaiju film of the Showa era. Monsters fight, an interesting human story that connects to the monsters very well and doesn't drag, interesting and violent scenes, and much more. This film is the longest of the Gamera Showa films, clocking in at an hour and 46 minutes, and to be honest, it's worthy of being this long. The monster fights are awesome, the acting and story are interesting and well thought of, but still cheesy and goofy at moments, and this movie just delivers more and is even better than the first. Also, no damn kids, I love it. Rewatching this again alongside the Podzilla guys made me very excited and happy again. This was such a great film on my second watch, and I can't wait for you guys to see more. Set aside the goofy and everything else alike, this movie is a great sequel and really shows the potential this series had. I give this movie 5 rainbow-loving Gameras out of 5 rainbow-loving Gameras.
Flip, a full score.
Gameras, yeah. Full score.
I will say that Gamera does not love the rainbows in this movie.
No. I don't think anyone loves the rainbows. Rainbow Valley, get it out of here.
Once Barragon sees the rainbow, he stops.
Yeah.
We also have a message here from Jackson. "Hey guys, it's Jackson or Maury here." Hey, Maury. "I got a quick question, and I know this will upset some people, but does Gamera ever feel like a Godzilla ripoff to you sometimes? Like, I enjoy the character and really liked the Heisei trilogy. I just think that I could be watching Godzilla instead when watching some of the movies. If this offended you, please don't come after me. If you do, then I'll have no choice but to unleash Zilla on you. Your choice."
Zilla's his cat. You seen these photos of
Maury's
cat? Oh, yes.
That made
cat?
More sense. Zilla is such a great cat.
Every photo I've seen of Zilla in the Discord is him with his mouth wide open.
He roars like crazy.
Is he missing a few teeth? He looks
Maybe.
Gnarly.
Look, Jackson, I can't attest to it since we haven't seen more than 2 of these movies. But I will say, even in the little bit that we've seen of him so far, he does feel like quite a distinct character, especially with his more alien origins. But you said some of the movies there, so we'll see if that view tends to hold up or not.
Yeah, I still feel like it has a lot of the same tropes that the Godzilla Showa era did have. Like, if this had Godzilla instead of Gamera, if it had an enemy like Anguirus instead of Barragon, and it was just the exact same movie with those monsters, I would fully believe it was something that Toho made in the Showa era. So it does seem like they're copying the pre-established formula. But I'm enjoying it. I mean, it just seems like more of a good thing to me, and they are finding ways to make it different. I'm enjoying it. We'll see how samey it gets as we go on.
And we have another message here from Spencer. "Hello, Podzilla. I just finished blitzing through every Godzilla movie for the first time, then every Podzilla episode for the first time.
Yes.
Now I'm left with no Godzilla and no Podzilla, unless... of course, you boys came in clutch by announcing your Gamera season, which was just the nudge I needed to check out what that troublesome turtle was getting up to across town.
I really appreciate your perspectives on Gamera because, like me, and I guess like the general public, you're coming onto the scene with Godzilla looming large in your mind, wanting Gamera to both measure up to his rival but also do his own thing, which sadly I can't say he quite pulled off in his first outing. Gamera 1 first Gamera couldn't ever get the taste of Godzilla's dust out of its mouth, but Gamera vs. Barugon felt like a massive step up, reminding me why these kinds of Showa-era adventures are so fun. The dual plotline was entertaining, the miniature work was solid, and the monster action was pretty alright. Barugon gushing up purple paint really makes you feel for the poor guy, and brings to mind that old Ashira Honda quote. Overall, it really reinvigorated my excitement to carry on with the series. Looking forward to whatever comes next, I rate Gamera vs. Barugon a hearty 3.5 out of 5 brilliant diamond death rays. Not ruby death rays, diamond death rays this time.
Diamond death rays. Thanks for the message, Spence. Appreciate you checking out the show, blitzing through it. And we'll just finish off on a voice message from our old pal JB out on the wild west. He's American, right?
In the wild north?
The wild north.
Hello there, Micah and Jaysher. I wanted to send in this audio message because I wanted to tell you guys, I would spend 80 New Zealand dollars for a Blu-ray of this movie, and I really would. It's that good. It really hit me. It's so Gamera versus Barugon. That's like, so the Godzilla one is Barugon, and the Gamera one is Barugon. I don't know. Gamera versus Barugon. I will start by saying this is my favorite Showa Gamera movie, I think, like out of all of them. A lot of the reason comes from it's a lot more mature than the other Gamera movies, as you guys will very quickly start to realize as you go down the line. But I really think it's to this movie's benefit. I like the story that this one tells. I like the dudes that go to the island and the woman character that's on the island. It was very much similar to Son of Godzilla and Ebra Horror of the Deep, as I'm sure you guys caught those similarities too. But what I find like special about this movie is that like that's only the first half, and then the second half is more akin to a standard monster movie in a city. But it's cool that we have both. So this movie was like already pretty good before Barugon even shows up. But when Barugon does show up, I mean, I really do love him. He's got a rather simple spiky design with glowing spikes and horns, but I like that because he's got like an unassuming demeanor that plays host to all these hidden abilities that really make the viewing experience exciting on first watch. Like when I watched this the first time and I saw an explosive rainbow come out of the back of Barugon, I was speechless. You know, and he's got like a freaky extendable freeze tongue. Yeah, so overall, I think it's a great sequel. I think it's an improvement from the original, in my humble opinion. Yeah, I think adding another monster really lets Gamera shine a lot more. Because I think Gamera, he just shines a lot when he's just fighting other monsters because he can unleash his full arsenal of abilities too. But also because Gamera, he's a hero. And I feel like heroes work best when they have villains. I'm going to give this one 3 opals that are actually Barugon eggs out of 5. And I can't wait. Next one. I'm actually not American. I'm in London right now. I've been fooling and tricking you, so you never actually know who I am. My American accent is a big act. Cheers, and I can't wait for the next one, chaps.
It's the chaps that does it for me. It's the chaps that sells it.
I was thrown off. I didn't realize it was JB for a good minute there.
Thanks, JB. No, it is cool that we're getting a hero versus villains, like a villain. What do they call it? A lineup, a roster, a gallery,
rogues gallery.
We're getting Gamera in his rogues gallery every single week. So it's going to be fun. Next episode, next week in Gamera's rogues gallery.
Now, can you say it correctly?
Gaios?
I want to say Gaios. No.
Gaios.
Gamera versus Gaios. Gaios is what I'm calling it.
Next week we have Gamera versus Gaios from 1967, and the synopsis goes, unusual volcanic activity in Japan awakens Gaios, a bloodthirsty flying monster with the power to slice things in half with an ultrasonic ray. While scientists and the military scramble to devise a way to stop this new threat, a young boy forms an alliance with Gamera, a monster no one else seems to trust.
I love how it's like, there's this bloodthirsty monster, and then this kid teams up with Gamera.
Yeah. So that's going to be next week on the show. Make sure to watch it. Send in your thoughts, your reviews to podzillapod@gmail.com. And then if you didn't know, if you didn't hear on the grapevine, we've actually got a special bonus episode dropping in our main feed this weekend where we talked Monster Hunter, the Monster Hunter movie from 2020 that Toho co-funded, distributed. We're talking it with a good friend of ours and a huge fan of the Monster Hunter franchise, Ravenous Glavinus. So this week, three Podzor episodes. Today's one, Monster Hunter on the weekend. Then this time this week, Godzilla versus Gyaos.
We got there in the end. Jay, I think we're running out. I think our time's up.
I'm looking at this oxygen dial over here that's saying it's on empty. There's no more oxygen in the space station. Good thing we pre-recorded those episodes that are coming out soon, but
this is our canonically last episode.
This is canonically in the title. Our last one, so please, patreon.com/podzilla to send our family funds for the funerals.
Please leave us some Podzilla memoirs in the reviews for the show on whatever listening platform you're listening on.
And we'll see you.
I'm going to miss you in the afterlife.